Good afternoon.
Blog Talk Radio.
Just follow the beat. For real, you can feel the excitement in the air. Leave your worries behind and just forget about your cares. Grab a Frank at Fenway and see a soft game. Cause sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name. Don't forget, finding a spot shouldn't be hard. Cause you can always park your car at Harvard Yard. Stop by the aquarium to watch the dolphins swim, or chill down at the harbor and watch the ships come in. Oh yeah, like Paul Revere, keep it moving, then I'm out. Eyes squinting from the glare on top of the State House. No doubt, baby, you know how we do. Cause every time that we rhyme, we shine just like the crew. Okay, all the way from Mass Ave to Harvard Square, it's clear, the spirit of the city's everywhere.
When there's nothing to do, I go shopping at the food. In the festivals, I'm on Boulevard. I hop down to the Omni Show. Cause the bee's got the spirit, so don't you know?
I'm in the bean town, state of mind. Feeling fine on the charts, catching the last rays of sunshine. And you can tell the hat shells about to get live. Cause of all the commotion happening out on Stubble Drive. Catching the shine every time the fireworks go off. I make it park like Keith Rockhart. Or you can find me at the garden with the white and the green. Cause hey babe, I got nothing but love for the bean.
Walking in the park, see the photo on the chart. In the town,
that's the beat.
In the town,
that's the beat.
Right up on the swamps when you're out in Boston.
Ah, I just found the button. Welcome, listeners, and it was so great. I actually got into that, you know, listening it to again. I don't know how many times I listened to it. You just found it this week. We've rejuvenated that song, created that song as part of the Bean back in 2006, and had all kinds of we thought were advantages by hiring PR companies, professional PR companies, to you know speak our message and get to the radio stations to get airtime. And of course, in those days, and that's not that long ago, about 7 years, there was no way that we could do that. We might have got it one or two times, played at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning or something. But as great as the song is, as catchy as much as, you know, it's a sticky song, and everybody who hears it loves it in Boston. Nobody really got to hear it. And now, with what we're doing, and I think this applies to everything that we've been talking about in terms of viral networking, et cetera, the field is it's a level playing field. Everybody can get distribution now, which I think is fantastic. So what's your take on it?
Can you hear me, John?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear.
Oh, good. Okay. I just want to make sure my headset was working.
Okay, you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
Great.
On the PR end of it?
Well, first of all, your feelings on the song.
The song itself, first of all, I can't stop singing it. I mean, yeah, I know you. I mean, you had produced this a while back, and it probably, you know, after I come into working for Beantown Toys, but I don't remember hearing it way back then. But you know, I've got everybody singing it. My daughter's singing it. My 2 year old is singing it. It was singing it last night. It really sticks in your head, but it's because it just, you know, it talks about the city and all the great places, and every word of it is true, and that the feeling of it, the feeling of the song, It's so honest, and you know, and it's not an over complicated song, and it appeals to everybody, and I'm just so anxious to get going on a video. I think that's going to be the piece that's really going to tie it all together.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's, I don't know if it's because of my involvement. I'm the executive producer on that, and it's one of the things that I am so proud of, that, you know, the little legacies that I've left. I've left an amazing toy for the world. I embedded that toy in the memories of many kids, the stories about the bean, the videos that have been produced, you know, the raving fans that got created. Even though we're not at the point where the property has taken off, we really have made an amazing mark on the universe, or especially in Boston, and not only Boston, but just as Boston has Red Sox Nation, I guess we can call it Beantown Nation. So that song, just, you're right, the imagery, and I mean, well, we're going to talk about relationships today, and men and women, and all of that, which was interesting at the time. You know, going back to spirituality and the whole idea of the law of attraction and being able to manifest things that are in your mind and to see those come true, which we're starting to see in a second phase of Almighty Productions, our production company, and your group, the LaDawn Group. What we're seeing is this amazing serendipity and manifestation of things that, gee, we just think about, oh, we need this, and pop, 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 it comes right into our reality. And here I was, having this property of the Boston Baked Bean and looking for all manners of media to promote that and to create those images and sounds that would make the bean sticky and make it take off. And I was kept saying to people, you know, I need somebody to write a song about Beantown. I need somebody to write a song about the bean and Beantown. And there I go to a function where this never happens. I was the only comedian, and there were two singers warming up before me. They were the opening act. And it turned out to be this group called One Love. And Billy Fee, who's a white male, grew up in the city. And Ruby, who obviously grew up in the city, both of them wrote those lyrics. And again, the imagery, she talks about an area of the city that I grew up in Roxbury. And I mean, I can see it. You know, you take the train into town, and you shop at all those great stores downtown, and the Martin King Boulevard and Franklin Park, the zoo. I mean, that's my own stomping ground. So, you know, those images of my being there at all of those spots, and that time in my life when, you know, people dressed up. I remember my mother, if you went to town, you had to dress up to go to town. You couldn't go downtown in your play clothes.
Even, you know, and I'm not that far behind you, but when, you know, when I was young, and, you know, we grew up in the project, we were poor, and but we always dressed to go in town. And it was always, you know, someplace we wanted to go. And even as, you know, I grew up with my own children, going into town for them was always a treat. And they still go. They hop on the train, and there's nothing like going in. It's funny. It's to town. It's, you know.
That's right.
Even in the song, you know, trot, trot to Boston, trot, trot to town. You know, it's there. You know, Boston is the town. It's Beantown. It's all those places that the song talks about that we know and love, whether you live here or you visited here. You've been to college here. Those are all the, you know, Downtown Crossing, the Swan Boats, the Commons, Newbury Street. You know, everybody wants to go down Newbury Street and dream of where they can shop.
Exactly.
It's funny because even Newbury Street, there's a difference between, like, Newbury Street and Fifth Avenue. You know, because in Boston, you can walk down Newbury Street and you have even though you may not be able to afford some of those shops, you know, you have a sense of feeling of belonging, you know, to
absolutely
every part of the city.
It's one of the things that, you know, as my days of working for Fuji Photo, we had, you know, individuals coming in from all over the world, all over the country to work with me. Japan, and you know, at times from Europe, and certainly from the rest of the country, and even the New Yorkers. I mean, obviously, it's not hard to impress somebody, not to knock it, but it's not hard to impress somebody who came from Kansas City or Cleveland. I'm sorry, I'm laughing, but I've been to all of those towns, and every time I go there, you know, I just feel so blessed. And it's kind of torture, you know. You leave this beautiful city by the water with all of its history and all of its architecture and its traditions and Harvard and everything else that they talk about, and you land in a place like Syracuse or whatever. And even some of the bigger cities like Phoenix, et cetera, you know, and after 5 o'clock, you've got a ghost town. And you're like, where's everybody going? You know,
yeah,
because,
yeah, actually, you know, St. Louis is like that. St. Louis is like, I think,
yeah,
the only city that I could say that in my heart comes close to Boston would be Chicago.
Absolutely.
That has close to the same feeling, you know, the same kind of heart that the people have. You know, I mean, of course, I still prefer Boston, but I do love Chicago. I've only been there a couple of times, but I would say it has that same, you know, big city, small town feeling. You know?
Absolutely. And San Francisco, of course, you can't deny San Francisco's beauty and appeal and neighborhoods. I mean, in many ways, you know, that overview on the city and the harbor and the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, certainly is the shining star of all of our American cities. However, if you were to match individual attraction, individual site versus Boston, so for example, they have their Union Square. So if you contrast Copley Square to Union Square, it's not even close. If you contrast Faneuil Hall to Fisherman's Wharf, it's no contest. You know, or the North End compared to their Italian section, it's no contest.
Right.
You know,
and
so
we're one of the only few cities left that actually has, you know, quote unquote, Little Italy, what we call it, the North End. Even New York, we are in North End, has all but disappeared.
Exactly.
You know, it's
so homogenized. That's what I was going to say. Even the New Yorkers would, oh, my God, we're going to Boston. Oh, my God, well, we're going to the North End. I mean, to have people leave a magnificent, and I'm in love with New York at this time of my life. I wasn't previously, but it really is the greatest American city in terms of what it has to, the magnitude of what it has to offer, the people, et cetera. But Boston is this little tiny town, and, you know, it just has a depth and a width that, anybody who comes here, I really think they do look at it as, no matter where they're from, Boston becomes their hometown, you know. As we saw recently with the, after the bombings, the way that the rest of the country came to our support. And, you know, even our arch rivals, New York and Chicago and the rest, you know, took special time.
Yeah, I mean,
to
Boston, is just, Boston is a city you can't hate. You know, I mean,
well,
you can't hate Boston.
I guess they can now with our success in sports.
You know, we're like, I don't know, we're like Canada.
But you're absolutely right. Once you get here,
you can't hate Boston.
The other thing that's interesting is, you know, I find tough people around here tough. And every time you meet a tourist, they're like, oh, my God, the people are so nice. And you're like, are you sure you're talking about Boston? And I think
that's... As long as you're not on Star Drive during rush hour.
Yeah, as long as you're not in a car, you will have that feeling. Because I think truly Bostonians will step out of their security zone, their, you know, their perception. Yeah, they will help an out-of-towner, a tourist. You know, that is true. So... Yes, you're right, and I get the chills when I listen to think that, you know, I didn't write it, but and the way that those two individuals came to me, and
you
know,
inspired it, and the bean inspired it, which is, you know, everything.
Well,
you
know, that's the refrain I love. I mean, we were attempting to, and I know that eventually in time we were thinking that Boston. With the nickname for Boston would be the Bean, and I heard from as we were producing all of these T-shirts and the music and everything else, that a lot of the younger kids said, "Oh, we always called it the Bean. Let's go into the Bean tonight."
Yeah, I mean, it has been a beam for years. I mean, you know, we have, you know, actually, a quick short story is that my ancestors, my great-grandfather and great-grandfather came over from Ireland, of course, and landed in Dorchester. But then when my grandmother was about 6 years old, they ventured over into the North Shore of Boston into a little city called, well, then it was a town called Everett, and they opened up a bakery, and they would sell Boston baked beans on Sunday, and people would come from all over New England to buy their beans, and you had to bring your own container, your own pot, your own canister, and they would sell your canister, and, you know, and that's every Saturday. That's all they did. No donuts, no cakes, no nothing. It was beans on Saturday.
That's amazing.
Saturday was Franks and Beans Day.
That's true. Everybody in Boston on Saturday night. What an amazing thing. Well, and the reason for that, people would come into our store on Newbury Street and ask us, why is Beantown Beantown? And we went back and looked it up. Of course, it's really easy to do now with Google, but the reason is that the Puritans could not cook on Sunday. That was forbidden. So you're right. On Saturday, everybody baked beans. And the sailors, when they approached the city, could smell them as far out as miles. As they approached Boston, they got this smell of beans. And, you know, a lot of times people talk about the great molasses flood.
Yeah, the molasses. Well, that had to do with the beans. Because
exactly.
They
prepared the molasses for the beans. And
sweetness to them.
Exactly. And so that's how it did get its name. And isn't that amazing that tradition carried on as far as it did, so that, who did you say cooked, who owned the bakery?
My great-grandparents had a bakery on the corner of Chelsea and Vine Street in Everett years and years and years and years ago. I don't know. I think there's just an apartment building there now. But, yeah, it was famous. It was pretty famous. Bakery that they had where they sold beans on Sunday, and you know they had apparently a wonderful reputation for it. My grandmother used to tell me, and she was a child, you know, then when they had a shop, and used to tell me stories about the people that would line up around the corner with their container to get the beans, because you know back then there was no, you know, styrofoam or paper supply. Everybody, you know, you went to you know, to buy your grocery, you know, you went to the grocer or the market back then, and you had to bring your own baskets or bundles or whatever. There was no paper bags or plastic or anything back then. So, you know, and I think actually my sister still, I think she actually, when my poor loving dear grandmother passed away, confiscated that last bean pot. yeah, I was jealous, I have to admit. She grabbed that last bean pot, and yeah, you know, you can find replicas of them all over Boston, but yeah, it's really quite a heritage, you know, and you'll find that I think most people who are rooted in Boston who have, you know, ancestors from wherever, so, you know, because Boston had its own little Ellis Island, you know, even Deer Island, or maybe a lot of people don't know that Deer Island accepted a lot of immigrants into the United States. A lot of people came into Deer Island and never left due to sickness. They had, you know, there was a hospital out there where if people were sick and came off the boat, they were quarantined there and sometimes made these long voyages and actually never set foot into Boston. But, you know, luckily my grandparents did. So, there's so much history here, you know, and so much
tradition.
Love and camaraderie and tradition, exactly, that, you know, that song is just, it kind of wraps it all up, and it's easy to listen to, and, you know, it's modern as well, you know, it's current, it's not, you know, it's something that anybody, any age could listen to and enjoy, and I think that's another thing. My kids love it, you know, like I said, teenagers, they love it, I love it. So it appeals to all ages. I think that's another great thing about it.
Absolutely. You know, and it's so funny you talking about these things and those images that they were so beautifully crafted by the two of them. One, you know, again, a white guy and a black woman, and they are a couple. And to hear his take on it, which is, you know, Fenway Park. I don't know if Billy grew up actually. He might have grown up in the city, or at least Cambridge or Somerville. And so his take, you know, you can hear the male side of that, his side of it, which is, you know, Fenway, he talks about the Celtics. So the sports and the more obvious things. And here, this black woman who grew up, obviously, either in Dorchester or Roxbury, talking about Franklin Park and Martin King Boulevard. And, you know, so...
But she also talked about buying shoes on Newbury Street, which my daughter Emily can totally relate to. I call her my Emily. She's my little Imelda. My Imelda Marcos, who she doesn't even know who that is.
Yeah, that's the one. No. Right. You know, isn't that a fascinating element that the... again, a song written by a male and a female, and she brings in a guy would never, let's go to Newbury Street and buy shoes. But, yeah, exactly. This female is talking about shopping at the Prue and shoes on Newbury Street. And it you're right. It builds images that both males and females can identify with.
Absolutely. I think we when we watch the video, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, and building the video. Right now we're trying to get celebrities and obviously the locations all put in there. And your daughters are going to dance. I don't know. I guess Emily's not giving us a blessing this week.
She just texted me. She said she's on cue.
Oh, yeah. See, this I'm learning all of this dashboard. And let's bring her in. I don't know how the heck to move this thing around, but...
She's been listening the whole time. She's been
God. All right. That's great. Oh, there we go. Okay. Here we go. It's Emily for the second day in a row. Hey, Emily.
Hi, guys.
So you've been able to listen?
Yeah, I've been on the whole time, but I didn't think you could hear me.
No, I couldn't because I didn't... I'd have to hit the microphone, but that microphone was concealed by this... dialogue box that I'm just kind of discovering here. So,
No, I've been here the whole time listening.
Okay. So what do you think of what we've been saying?
Yeah, I've been listening to everything. And I think what I wanted to add in about the Boston thing is that, you know, me and my boyfriend have, you know, toured a lot, especially him. And, you know, he always says that, like, you know, he's been to pretty much, like, every state in the country, and he wouldn't want to live anywhere else but in Boston. And we always talk about that. Like, and, you know, same goes with me. I couldn't really imagine, like, wanting to live anywhere else but here. So I definitely agree with what you guys were saying.
So Dayton, Ohio doesn't appeal to you?
I'm sorry?
Joke. It's a joke, Emily.
I couldn't understand you.
Oh, okay, Dayton, Ohio.
Oh,
it's a city in Ohio.
Yeah, maybe not so much, but I'm being serious. And you know, I go back and forth from here to New York a lot, and like coming back is always like a breath of fresh air. Like it's always good to come back. It's like I'm never, like, you know, sad leaving New York City, coming home to Boston. I mean, I really wouldn't want to live anywhere else. If I had it my way, I would live right on Newbury Street if I could afford it. I mean, I seriously, though, that would be, then me and my mom have, like, talked about that forever, like, wanting to, like, buy an apartment right on Newbury Street. Like,
oh,
I mean, as long as I can
have. That would just be incredible.
So, I mean, since I can remember, we've you know, talked about wanting to do that, and there's just so much to do. I mean, just even being in the city, I just have such a good feeling. And I know a lot of people, and you were also talking about how, you know, people have, like, a weird perception of how, like, the, you know, people that have, you know, grown up in Boston, like, you know, the toughness or the attitude, but... You know, I think that people are really nice here. My roommate just moved up from Florida, and we were at a Trader Joe's in Boston, and she was telling him that she just moved up here from Florida, and he, like, ran from behind the counter and got her a bouquet of flowers and started singing, like, a song to her about how Boston was, like, the best city. Like, all, you know, like, just gave her, like, a bouquet of flowers right there in the store. And, like, she was, like, shocked as to, like, how nice people are here.
I think, you know what, like, I think especially in light of the events that took place a couple of weeks ago, I've seen that and a lot more, you know. I mean, these guys thought they could come in and wreak havoc on us. No way. We're too
exactly.
tough for that. You're just going to make us stronger.
Exactly.
You know?
And, there was something you were saying, Emily, I think about, you know, or Joe living in other parts. How old is Joe?
24.
Oh, okay. He looks a lot younger.
Yeah.
And
I
he also, the
younger than
I know what I want to talk about. He knows Billy Fee. The guy who wrote and sang the song.
He was involved
is that
in that
true?
Conversation I had with him. But yeah, he told me he knows Billy Fee.
Okay, great. Who is just an amazingly deep and extremely talented individual who, as he told me the other night, I said, you know, Billy, we want to have you in this video. And he says, hey, Tom, I'm not an upfront guy. I love being behind the scenes and producing and creating. He also gave me the chills when he said to me that, you know, if you think I did a great job on the first one, he says, give me a shot at the second, which really resonated with me, because what he's saying is, as good as That's the Bean is, when he gets down and dirty and talks about Boston Strong or Beantown Strong, it will really be something dramatic, and I really believe he's going to be able to do that. So, and you see, what's great too, Emily, is that because it's a smooth kind of a rap, I think it's, I'm not a big rap fan, especially Gangman style?
Gangster rap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not called gangster, it's called gangman, isn't it? Gangman. Anyway, I'm not a big fan of that, but, you know, I'm not into the violence and the language, et cetera, but certainly, you know, this is a beautiful, I think it does rap, it gives it a huge compliment, because it takes rap to a level to show you that what can be created with that medium, and the poetry and the images are brilliant. So,
and let's not forget that my daughter Emily Ligon will be doing the choreography for the video.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I heard the song for the first time last night.
Yeah, what kind
and
of,
I really, really liked it.
What kind of moves, images do you see that you can you share with us now? How you feel you'll interpret that?
Well, just from listening to it last night a couple of times, I mean, I have to listen a lot more to get a really good idea. But what I think, you know, for the video, I mean, I think we should I want to make it like funny. I want to do like kind of like a joke, like a spoof on all of, like, the other, like, you know, crazy, like, rap videos there are. And, you know, because the song is so good, I think that we will be able to do that. I mean, that's what I see. I want to have a lot of people. Like, I want to bring in a lot of, you know, my friends and my sister's friends, you know, people that can't dance and, like, people that can, and, like, really try to make, like, a big group thing. I think that would be awesome. And that's the vision that I have right now.
And that's great, you know, and I think that's the beauty of the Bean, especially when the mascot comes out. We will see as we're filming this, you're going to see people react to the Bean, because he is a playful, funny, lovable character, and
right.
You know, that will be the mainstay of all of these films, is that it will be the Bean in those situations, and the love that he creates and attracts based around this. That's the Bean, you know, that's the Bean.
Right. And I think, and nowadays, you know, like, just because, like, YouTube is, like, really the biggest thing. And, I mean, and, like, everyone has seen, like, just these ordinary people just blow up from YouTube. And it has to be, and, you know, we can get a lot of attention like that. by doing something unique, by doing something funny. I mean, like, so many people have gotten big off of that, and I think if we can make a really good video and, like, get it onto YouTube, like, it's definitely something that can become really popular because that's how everyone's doing it now. So, you know, I'm working with Joe on making, like, a really, like, cool, funny concept for this that we think would become, like, really popular.
Great.
Yeah,
you know, if I were doing a regular show, we would have ended by now, but we learned yesterday that we can continue. So I want to talk about this because, you know, first of all, it's dear to my heart, and it's great to get your take on it. And, you know, the part to me that's so liberating that we produced that song when we could not distribute it. I mean, we had to beg. The door was closed. There were these little, and everybody knows. I mean, there's no secret about what the radio stations and, you know, there was a lot of bribery and corruption and, you know, favoritism and, you know, which we didn't have the clout or the money to, even though we hired the best PR company in Boston. We just couldn't get airtime. And now, I mean, it's just so liberating. And a lot of people, and, you know, Joe would be able to talk about this, and you too, as an artist, a recording artist. People are saying, oh, well, yeah, but, you know, we don't have, because we don't have the big recording studios that we used to and where they controlled the market, they only took the best talent. Well, I don't believe that at all. I believe that through the years, amazing talent got left to be like roadkill. They just never got a chance, and they got lost. And, you know, so today, the fact that the door is wide open is, you know, it's a level, as I said earlier, a level playing field, is so liberating because it's like, well, you can't stop us. If we're good, the judge of good is always the audience. And
right.
So isn't that exciting? I mean, I think that's the most liberating part about all of this is that, no, you can't, if we're good and we do something extremely creative and it's original and it resonates with the end consumer, you as a studio or a person who controls the market with your money or your influence or whatever cannot deny talent anymore.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
you know, what's your take
not.
On that?
No, I completely agree with you, and, you know, Joe would probably do a lot better at talking to you about that than me because, you know, he has way more experience. I mean, he does. I mean, he records, you know, bands himself and, you know, his own band. And, you know, yeah, I really do agree with you. I mean, just nowadays, it, you know, you don't have to be something great and to get a lot of attention and influence on people. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to, you know, follow anyone else's rules. You don't have to be signed to a major label. You don't have to have, like, a huge, you know, publishing deal. I mean, you can definitely do a lot on your own. And I think that gives a lot of, you know, small businesses and people with no light on them, like, a lot of hope, you know, because they can do it on their own.
Exactly.
That's a real talent sign through, you know. It's not, and it opens up, you know, it opened up the door for so much more talent. You know, before we used to be so restricted to what we heard as to what was on the radio. Now you can
exactly.
go and find whatever you like, you know, and be a patron to whatever band or group you like, regardless whether they're signed to a major label or not.
And you know what? And the thing is with these, like, a lot of people, like, do fine, like, you know, on their own. Like, they get themselves popularity and, you know, like, they do all their own PR work and everything. And then they get signed to a major label, and they don't go anywhere because the major label will only do, like, they'll give them this, like, one big push, and if something doesn't hit, the major label will drop them. I mean, signing to a major label can ruin bands. It can ruin talent. I mean, it really, and it has done that for, like, a lot of people. And that's why people now are creating their own, like, independent, like, labels and, you know, indie labels, and, like, the, you know, the market for that is becoming huge. I mean, it's, like, really insane. I mean, even Joe's band doesn't want to sign to a major label. They want to do an indie label because those, you know, smaller groups, smaller businesses give way more attention to the talent than they have than being signed to, like, you know, a major label or being incorporated with these huge businesses, because people can get swallowed up in those. And, you know, I mean, I really, really think that, you know, YouTube is, like, one of the most powerful tools that you can use right now. And I think that after we, I think this video is going to come out awesome, and it can really, I mean, it can start a trend. I mean, so many trends are started on YouTube, and I think, like, after the bombings and, you know, all the awful things that are happening, I mean, we can really shed some light on Boston and give people hope. I mean, everyone needs something right now. I mean, there's so much sadness, and I mean, it's still going on. It's still on the news constantly, and we need to get something good going, and I think this video could be a huge part of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, isn't it great that we're we're holding the reins on that, and, you know, it's like a great canvas. I mean, the part of it has been, you know, the soundtrack has already been created, and now we get to create the images, you know, the film, and that's extremely exciting. That's to put the visuals with the sound and, you know, come up with something that has a real message and a sense of pride. I've never heard anything like it about Boston. I mean, there's some great Bostons. Like the Dropkick Murphys have done things, and, you know, we all know that Dirty Water is the thing and Sweet Caroline, but nothing ever that I've ever heard, and I've been here for 66 years, I've never heard anything that paints this picture, and it gives me, I mean, do you guys get the chills when you listen to it? I do.
Well, yeah. I mean, it you know, because, like, it talks about all those places that everybody goes to. You know,
yeah,
everybody who's in Boston is familiar with every single, you know, site that he hits on in that song.
And it's, you know, and I love it when, you know, the fireworks, think about what he says about the fireworks on the Charles and the, you know, the hat shell. And on July 4th, the nation, the world, is tuned in to Boston. Millions of people are watching the celebration here. It's the birthplace, you know, the Athens of America, the birthplace of the revolution. So, you know, we also have that aspect to it, that it is, you know, it's world-centric, everybody coming in and paying attention to our little town.
Right, and that's the thing, you know, we have to make sure that everybody gets out this year and heads into town and is not put off by, you know, what happened at the marathon and shows the world how strong we are.
Exactly. So,
definitely.
Well,
totally
this has been
agree.
Absolutely... Really, we went. It just shows you how life goes, as far as I perceive it. We had some many other things to talk about.
Yeah, we
got to
talk about. We never got there, but that's okay.
We never got
there
because the song did not come on yesterday, and I was wondering where and how you did it. And I saw this little button today, and when I hit it, of course, we got it. But then a dialogue box came up and concealed the button, and I couldn't shut it off. And, but it led to a great show. And also, which I think is kind of fun, you know, with everything that's going on, we had some wonderful dinners on Newbury Street, the three of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Did.
Those are the best memories for me. I mean, I really enjoyed every time that we went out to eat. I always had a great time.
Yeah, Emily, you know, your mom and I always talk about it. We talked about it yesterday. And it's so funny, I have to, you know, rub my eyes and shake my head every time I'm around you guys, you know, whether it be at your mom's apartment or we go out to dinner or whatever. And not only do I get that feeling, what I call seamlessness from, you know, my relationship with your mom, but with you guys, I mean, I just sit there going, you know, like I know these guys, you know, like I grew up, and these kids grew up with me, and I don't know if you get it on your side. I think there's that kind of connection that certainly that you and I have that, again, mirrors what your mom and I have, is that it's just so easy. The relationship is so easy.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you said. I really, yeah. I feel the same way.
But isn't it kind of bizarre? I mean, you know, I've never kind of experienced that, you know, certainly not too many times for sure. And I don't think with it encompassing like a whole family, you know, very weird. But
yeah, well, I mean, it was just, you know, again, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, I had a certain level of comfortability with you. And, you know, and of course, when I first met you, I told the girls about you. And, of course, we always have a little resistance from Olivia.
Yeah,
never mind the wrong. And,
exactly.
But yeah.
Oh, great. Well, I think this was a fun show, and it was a big surprise, but we covered a lot of things that are really appropriate today, and you know, this whole Boston Pride, Boston Strong, and let's see in a couple of weeks. Wouldn't it be nice to have a show after the video? And this is the starting point of the germination of the takeoff of it, getting prepared, and then the actual filming, and then we see, hopefully, we go viral and we get millions and millions of plays.
Oh, I'm sure we will. I think the video, I can't wait. And the video is going to be fun. And I think there's no way we can go wrong. So.
Great. Well, thank you. And listeners, that's our show for today on May 3rd, 2013. Again, and here I am looking at Castle Island, looking at Boston Harbor, where there's tons of history, and here in South Boston. So thank you for listening, and tune in
the
next time.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah, take care.
Bye.
Bye.